She spent an hour like that before realizing that she was listening for sounds from beyond the paper-thin wall, and for one sound in particular, the crash of the gun he had considerately not worn from the car to the motel room. The single loud shot that would mean he had ended his sorrow in the most direct fashion. When she couldn't stand the quiet from the other side of the wall any longer, she got up, put her clothes back on, and went outside to look at the stars. There, sitting on the curb, she found Roland, with the not dog at his side. She wanted to ask how he had gotten out of his room without her being aware of it. The walls were so thin, and she had been listening so hard, but she didn't. She asked him what he was doing out here instead, and found herself unprepared for both his answer and for the utter nakedness of the face he turned to hers. She kept expecting a patina of civilization from him, a nod in the direction of the niceties. But there was none of that. His honesty was terrifying. "I'm afraid to go to sleep," he said. "I'm afraid my dead friends will come to me, and that seeing them will kill me." She looked at him steadily in the mixture of light, that which fell from her room and the horrible, heartless Halloween glare of the parking lot arc sodiums. Her heart was beating hard enough to shake her entire chest, but when she spoke, her voice sounded calm enough. "Would it help if I lay down with you?" He considered this and nodded. "I think it would." She took his hand, and they went into the room she had rented him. He stripped off his clothes with no sign of embarrassment, and she looked, awestruck and afraid, at the scars which lapped and dented his upper body. The red pucker of a knife slash on one bicep, the milky wheel of a burn on another, the white crisscross of lash marks between and on the shoulder blades, three deep dimples that could only be old bullet holes. And, of course, there were the missing fingers on his right hand.